Good morning, church. I hope you all are doing well. Hope your family, extended families, your co-workers, fellow students, your neighbors, I hope everyone that is in your circle are safe, that they're healthy. But if they're not, I pray that God's healing would be upon them and that would bring them back to health as quickly as possible. As we continue to battle these difficult times during a pandemic and just turmoil in this country and around the world. You know, a lot of us have a lot of stress to deal with, a lot of issues. You know, it's like right now, our whole life can be turned upside down every other day, you know. Now it's this, now it's that, now it's another thing, constantly shifting. And a lot of us don't like change. And these days, probably more often than not, the change means it's trouble, it's more difficult. It brings about hardship in our life. And during these times when there's trouble, I want to remind us of something, and that is how important a good attitude is. Good attitude. Even in times of trouble, we need to have a good attitude. And I've shared it with you numerous times through the years about how my wife and I, whenever we were raising our kids, how we disciplined them. And the thing that would cause us to discipline probably more severely, more quickly, and unfortunately sometimes with a little more anger, it was a bad attitude. Man, we just don't like a bad attitude. There's no parent that's had any children that they like a child with a bad attitude. It just sets something off in you. Your whole psyche just gets out of whack when you have to deal with a child that's got a bad attitude. And just as a parent, we don't like our children to have bad attitudes. So our Heavenly Father also doesn't want us to have a bad attitude. And that's what I want to talk about today as we continue in our series. We're going through the book of Jonah. And you remember the story from last week. Jonah was a prophet of God. He was called by God to go to Nineveh, share the gospel, prophesy against the city. He didn't want to do that. It was a long way away. He didn't like those people. He thought it wouldn't turn out the way he really wanted it to turn out. And so he decides to run from God, and he gets on a ship and begins to go in the opposite direction. Shortly after that, when he was on the ship, a big storm comes up. All of them were afraid to lose their lives. And so what do? They begin to cast lots. Whose fault is this? Is there somebody on our ship that has cursed this journey? The lot falls to Jonah. And they said, what do we need to do? Jonah said, in order to save your life, you got to throw me overboard. So they did. They accommodated him, threw him overboard. And Scripture says that the Lord had prepared a great fish, and he swallowed up Jonah. And so as we begin today, Jonah is still in the belly of the beast. And this series is not about some National Geographic special on these freakishly large fish. It's not about a fish at all. The story is about revival. Revival means coming into contact, coming into relationship with God. And we'll see that in the next couple weeks, how that plays out. But, you know, Jonah is the one that has and will be the voice of God in that whole revival. And before Jonah gets to that place, God has got to do something in Jonah. Before he brings revival, he needs to revive his prophet, Jonah. Whenever you revive something, it gives you the picture of bringing something back from the dead, breathing life into something that was almost out of breath or seemingly dead altogether. And today I want us to see the importance of our attitude in that whole process of being revived by God. Now, we're in chapter 2, Jonah's still in the belly of the beast, and the question for today is, what is the right attitude in a bad situation? What's the right attitude in a bad situation? You may have heard the saying before that attitude determines altitude. How high can you go? How successful can you become? How influential It has to do with your attitude. Attitude is so important to the people that you come in contact with the people that have the ability to bless you, to favor you. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, is so important to have a good attitude. When you have a good attitude, it kind of draws people to you. Whenever you have a meal in a restaurant, and the food can be phenomenal, the food, the best you've ever eaten, but your server has a bad attitude, doesn't say thank you, just kind of drops things in front of you, they don't fill your glass back up when it gets empty, there's no more tea to finish your meal. Food, the best you've ever had, but the service is not good at all. Do you tip? Typically, no. What? You tip because you have good service. You see, a good attitude brings things to you. I was just reminded a couple weeks ago, I have a niece of mine, and she has a personality that me and my sisters tease her about. She's like a magnet for me to pick on her. And when I say tease, I told you before, if I don't pick on you, if I don't tease you, I don't like you. And so I must like this niece very much because whenever I'm around her, I'm constantly, she's just like a magnet. I want to favor her. I want to do something for her. And I just want to tease her. I just want to love on her all the time. She's like a magnet like that. And she's always happy. She's always cheerful, complimentary, just awesome to be around. That attitude is so key. And so what I want us to understand today is when we look at Jonah in the belly of a beast, and we'll see that's a horrible situation to be, what does our attitude need to be? So let's look at Jonah's attitude while in a bad situation, verse 1 of chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Inside the belly of the beast, Jonah found the right attitude. And the right attitude was humility. See, Jonah, he was at the end of his rope. He had a desperation on the inside of him. And there was a humility that said, you know what? I have tried, but now I'm going to be humble and come before God to show a deep dependence on who he is. Humility is an attribute and an attitude. It's not weakness. It's not cowering before other people. Humility is strength, and it's inward strength. You know that you know. You have a deep relationship with God. You don't need people to praise you. You don't need to praise yourself. You don't need to promote yourself. There is such a strong inside core of your faith in God with true humility. And Jonah found that humility in a horrible place. Now, humility is not necessarily something you want to find. You know, being humble is not fun. You know, let's just be honest. But it's an attitude he needed to find. He needed to be humble. I remember years ago, George and I were doing a little home project, and we got everything finished, and we needed to paint. I was tired, best I can recollect, I was tired. And I said, baby, you know, okay, I'll go see if I can find paintbrush. And so go outside in the utility, you know, place in the closets, and I'm looking. And in all honesty, I didn't look very hard, but I did look. So I come back in, and I'm a little happier coming back in the house than I was going out, because I'm like, baby, guess what? I can't find paintbrush. We can't paint today. You know, I felt relieved. Oh, you know, there's nothing Georgie can do. I don't have a paintbrush, so I can't paint today. She said, well, let me go look. And I thought, oh, my gosh. You know, women can find stuff that we can't find. You know, I don't know what it is, but she comes back and says, oh, I found the paintbrush. I'm like, dadgummit, you found a paintbrush. I didn't want to find that. You finding that means there's more responsibility on me, and so now I've got to follow through. I know it needs to be painted. It had to be painted. It was going to be painted, but I just wasn't in the mood right then. So when she found the paintbrush, I had to take the next step. And that's the way it is. You know, Jonah found humility. He didn't necessarily want to find it. He didn't want to be in a situation that caused him to humble himself more before God, but he did. He found the right attitude in the belly of the beast. He found humility. You know, and a good attitude actually is a measure of our faith. Your faith in who God is, who God is towards you, what he has done for you, who you are to God, your attitude reflects that confidence in God. If you know that you know that you know, your God is for you. Your God is with you. He has something in store for you. He has plans for you to prosper and to give you a hope. If you know that, it allows you to have a good attitude. But if you're not confident in who God is, if you're not confident in who you are to God, then you can have a bad attitude all the time. You're just like one of those plastic jars that you can see through, those clear plastic ones. I love those. You can see what's in it without even touching it, without picking it up. You know how much is left. You know, I keep my cereal and rice and everything else in those little clear containers. Oh, I don't even have to pick it up. I don't have to shake the box. Hey, when I go to the grocery store, I know I need more cereal. Why? I can see. I know I need more rice. Why? I'm running out of rice, which is a horrible thing for me to run out of rice. But you can see right through it and see how much is in it. You can see people who complain all the time or who have a bad attitude. That's a clear indication that their faith is pretty low. They haven't been reminded, they haven't come to the realization of how God feels about them and how important they are to God. Jonah goes on to say, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me from deep in the realm of the dead. I called for help and you listened to my cry. Jonah said, I just wasn't in a place of death. I was deep into the place of death. I was in a dark, dark place. I know what that's like. Many of you know what it's like to be in a dark, dark place. A place that seems to be overwhelming. Jonah said, I can hardly breathe. I've all these things wrapped around my neck. I'm being tossed here and fro. And it's just so dark. This is such a hard place. And being in such a hard place, it can spawn all kinds of attitudes. Being in a hard place, being in darkness, it can bring an attitude of despair. Despair when you feel as if you've tried everything you can try. You've talked to everyone that you can think of. You've asked everyone that you can imagine. You've tried everything. You've Googled it and Binged it, and you've done everything you can. And just, you can feel like Jonah. I feel like things are still wrapped around me. I'm just on my last leg. I know I should continue to walk, but I don't have the strength to take another step. I know I should breathe, but I feel like I'm just overwhelmed and there's something on me. That dark place can bring about an attitude of despair. Woe is me. It's never going to get better. I can't make it better. No one else can make it better. And honestly, in a real hard place, having an attitude of despair, that is the easiest route that you can take. But darkness can also bring an attitude of division. Whenever you're in a bad place, many times it can bring about a blame game. You can blame others for the reason you're in that bad place. I don't deserve to be here. You can imagine Jonah having that same idea. You know, my goodness, God, you asked me to go to a place that I didn't want to go, but did I deserve this, being thrown off a ship, left for dead, swallowed by fish, now in the bowels of the beast with all the bile? This is what I deserve? It can separate you from God because you can get angry at God. It can separate you from close people, friends, coworkers. You can be envious. Maybe they got what you wanted. Maybe they got the promotion that you knew and you thought you were better equipped, you were better educated, you had a giftedness in that area. You got overlooked. You got left out. Someone else has it easier than you. It can really bring division. It can bring division to your family, to your marriage, to your kids, your closest of friends. Whenever I had to go through some dark places, I lost some friends because of that. I know what that feels like. It's a hard place. Having an attitude of division is not the right attitude. But on the bright side, darkness can bring a new attitude of revival. Jonah said, I have been cast out of your sight, but you, Lord my God, you have brought me, you have brought my life up from the pit. God, I was in the worst place. I was in the deep death. I was in despair. I was separated from you and everybody that was important to me. I feel like my life had no meaning. But from the darkest place, God reached down and you brought me up out of the pit. Let me encourage you, no matter how hard you're having it right now, no matter how low you feel that you are, God's arm is never too short to bring you up from the deepest place. You cannot go too low for God to bring you up to where He wants you to be. We just can't stay in all of that mess. Darkness can bring despair. Darkness can bring division. But darkness can bring a new attitude of revival. You get refreshed in God. God has brought me up. He has put my feet on a high place. He's favored me. It doesn't matter how low you feel like you are. God's arm is never too short to pull you out. Jonah goes on to say, but I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. Jonah finds two more attitudes to revive himself. Attitude of praise. Hey, you know what? I'm going to praise God anyway, where I am. I understand where I am is a horrible place, but I will give God praise. You know, and it's difficult to give God praise when you're in the midst of something. Typically, you can't be looking at where you are and give God praise. What that really means is you look at what God has done in the past. You look at God's faithfulness, and you lift your eyes, as the psalmist said, I lift my eyes unto the hills, knowing from that is where my help comes. You look and knowing who God is and what you are to God, you look at the future, then you give God praise. You thank God for His goodness in the past. You see His faithfulness, and you know God's character will continue to be good to you. The attitude of praise, and also the attitude of sacrifice. You want to take your eyes off yourself for just a while. One of my favorite verses, Proverbs 11. He who gives to others, he who refreshes others, he who is generous to others will himself be refreshed. If you want to be encouraged, give encouragement. If you feel like you're so dry, give your last drop to someone else. Water them, and then you yourself will be watered. And because of those attitudes that Jonah found in the most difficult place you can imagine being, God reached down and brought him out of the belly of the beast. Verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now just let me, I don't want to be too gross, but I'm going to paint you a picture for a minute. You got the right attitude. You know that you know that you know you have the right attitude when you can offer God a sacrifice of praise while lying in a pool of vomit. That is a whole nother level. That is a whole nother level. If you vomited, you're sitting in whatever great fish, everybody pictures a whale, whatever it is. If you're up on the beach, and if it's a great fish, it had a lot of room for vomit, okay? That's just the way it is. And you all down in the slime, and you're like, I'm going to offer God a sacrifice of praise. Man, that's setting the bar high. That's setting the bar high. You know his attitude was right. He found the right stuff in the middle of the trouble to give God a sacrifice of praise in that situation. In that situation. Jonah found and developed the right attitudes in this dark place. The attitude of humility. The attitude of prayer. The attitude of praise. And the willingness to sacrifice. Now, I want to remind you something. Jonah found all those things alone in the belly of the beast. There's nobody there. There's no boy, nobody giving him attaboys. Yeah, man, you're going to make it. You the man. I know. Hey, God ain't forgot about you. Come on, man. Go, go, go. It's going to be all right. Let me lay hands on you, man. Let me pray for you. Let me do something for you. Let me bring you a Snickers bar. I know that's what you love. Let me take you out to lunch. No, he was down in the depth of death, in the bowels of the beast, alone. God had not abandoned him, of course, but he was by himself. And you're going to have times in your life when you are in a dark place and you're in trouble and you're going to feel all alone. What do you do then? Jonah found what it took. Also like the story of King David, he knew that feeling all too well. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David had his mighty men with him, and they were going on raids. They were going, you know, they were taking goods and everything from a lot of evil people from around them, and they were getting more wealthy. And on one of their raids, one of their enemies came into their camp while they were gone. They sacked the whole place, took all their valuables, took their food, and took the wives and children of the warriors that were fighting next to David. When they returned, everything was gone. Everything was gone. You could imagine the men tore their clothes. They were angry. There was weeping. There was wailing. Incredible loss. Incredible darkness. And these men that were so devoted to David that 5 minutes earlier, every single one of them would have laid down their life for him. All of a sudden, they were plotting his death and even considering stoning him because of their pain, their trouble, their darkness was so difficult. What do you do in that kind of situation? There's nobody there. There's no advocate for David. Like Jonah, he was alone. These guys would have given their life for me a moment ago, and now they're talking of stoning me. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David had to find somehow, could you imagine that kind of trouble? That kind of hard place. David had to find a way to encourage himself. That means to encourage means to put courage inside. He found a way to draw when there was like nothing left. You know, many of the psalms that were written by David, I could imagine him singing some of his own songs, reminding himself of God's goodness and God's faithfulness, and thinking about the times God spoke things over his life about what he would do as a leader and as a king and as a man after his own heart. He had to remind himself of those things. He had to look back at how God defeated the giant at his hands, and he brought him forth and exalted him. He had to remind himself of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and that put courage inside of him. There are going to be times whenever you feel like you're all alone and it's the darkest place. Sometimes you have to speak courage to yourself. But what happens when you find yourself in the belly of the beast? When you feel all alone, know that God has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten about you. And he has not left you to be alone. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, we know that we can, sorry, wrong one. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Don't think that God has abandoned you simply because you are in the belly of a beast or you're surrounded by a lot of people that you would think, oh, wow, nobody likes me. I'm not getting what I think I deserve. Even in the deepest, darkest times, God has never left you alone. He is there speaking to you. His arm is not too short. He wants to bring you comfort. And just so you know, there's an obligation when God brings you comfort. The next part of the verse says, God brings us comfort so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We have an obligation. God gives to you so that you can give to others. God gives to you so you can give to others. God's merciful to you so you can show mercy. God forgives you so that you can forgive. God loves you so that you can love. God is patient with you so you can be patient. God shows forbearance with you so you can show forbearance with others. God gives. When He does, it's never about you. God gives so that you're able to give to others as well. And God says, the comfort that I give you in those deep, dark times, I give that to you so that you'll know what it's like and you can have it to share with others. You know, the attitude that we have in our times of trouble is like seed in our pocket. You know, we always have seed in our pocket. We always have something to give. Have you ever been around a grandparent that can't wait till their grandkids to come because they want to give them something? Well, wait a minute. I think granddaddy got something for you. Yeah, I think I got some noun laters in here. I think I got a quarter. You wouldn't give them a quarter. Now you have to go to the back pocket. Now, I got some folding money for you, son. I got some folding money for you. You grandparents seem to always have something in their pocket they want to give out. And every single one of us, we have seed in our pocket that whether you know it or not, you're constantly sowing seed to the people that are around you. And you can't escape your attitude. Whatever your attitude is, that's the seed that you're sowing to the people that are around you. If it's humility, you're sowing seeds of humility. If it's from prayer, you're sowing seeds of prayer. If you have an attitude of praise, you're sowing seeds of praise. If you have an attitude knowing that God is for you, you're sowing seeds of faith to others. We can't escape our attitude. You can't hide from that. You know why? Because you smell like what you think. Your attitude has an odor to it. Have you been around somebody that just complains all the time? Oh. They're the ones that you never ask how you're doing. You know, you've got those on your list, man. Don't ever ask them how they're doing, man. You just kind of, how y'all doing? Just walk on by. If you get close enough, you begin to smell it. You begin to smell that attitude of the complaint. You know, okay, how you doing? Well, you know, I'm not doing so good. You know, I can't do this and I can't do that. And this happened and that happened. And every day is a crisis. And that attitude of complaining is infectious. Your attitude is infectious. That's your seeds. You ever been around somebody that's just full of joy? It's going to rub off on you. They're going to plant that seed in you. You ever been around somebody that's determined and don't quit? It's going to put some determination in you. God brings us comfort. God puts things into our life to generate a godly attitude, and those attitudes turn into seed. But it's always to be given away. Your attitude is going to go into others. Make it a godly attitude. So it doesn't matter today how hard your place is, how dark your place may feel or seem. You may feel like Jonah did. I am in the depths of death. I am being choked out. I am being tossed to and fro. I feel like in the depths of despair. I feel divided and separated from God and my friends and others. Something is going on with me. God's arm is not too short. God wants to bring revival to your soul. He wants to speak life into you. He wants to breathe new air, new breath of encouragement, of hope and faith into you. But that's going to come about with an attitude that pleases God. So let me encourage you to be like Jonah. In the depths, in the difficulty, you just have to find the humility, the desperation for God. You have to find the heart to pray to God. You have to find that attitude of praise, find that attitude of sacrifice. And when you have all of these things, remember to give it away. I'm going to close with this challenge out of Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a mere human. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory and praise of God the Father. Let's pray. Father, we know and understand that we ourselves can be in such dark depths. Without fail, all of those in the sound of my voice, they know someone very close to them who very well may be in that type of place. And God, I pray that those that are struggling, that you will make yourself strong to them, show yourself strong. Give them the ability to find the attitude that will help them get out of the pit. Create in them a strong heart, a strong mind, a strong faith, knowing that you have never left them and you have never forsaken them. Give them attitudes of humility. May they find the heart of prayer. May they walk in a mindset of praise and a willingness to sacrifice for others in the midst of their own darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.